Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
All right, well, usually we do some fancy-pantsy open with a read and all that stuff, but it just, you know, feels like we just got to get right to it. Bo Root is here, and today it's Sunday night. It's about a little after 8 o'clock, and, you know, some people, you've always been the type of person that, like, makes me toughen up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some people have friends and they can be soft to like, they can go like confide in them and be like, you can cry, man. It's all good. Like, you're the perfect guy to do this Kobe Bryant tribute to, because I think you are going to force me to try to keep it together, because I've been a wreck all day.
You were my first thought when I heard the news, because I think we all, whether it's our friends or our family, we know when there's usually one or two idols in people's lives,
yeah,
of all our friends and family. And we know that when that unfortunate day comes, it's not just losing, hey, this guy is somebody I've watched. It almost feels like you've lost a friend in a way. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's why, you know, you're the one guy I know that Kobe was your guy.
Yeah.
And so I was really glad when you actually called and said, hey, do you want to come? Because I just wanted to talk to you about it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to come here, talk to you, see what you're feeling, and just kind of discuss, like, what the heck just happened?
Yeah, so, I mean, because you and I were just talking before. It's like, you never want to, when someone dies, all of a sudden you make it about yourself. But ultimately, everybody's going through what they're going through, and all I can talk about is how I'm feeling. And, I mean, yeah, you said, like, everyone has a few people in their life that come through that you either met them, you didn't meet them, but you listened to their music, you watched their movies, you read their books, you, in this case, watched someone play basketball. And they just do something to you. Like, when he played basketball, like, he did something to me. Like, something in me, in my heart, in my mind, like, he did something to me.
Yeah.
And it is hard. For people that don't know, I named my dog Kobe.
he's outside the door.
He's
right
outside
now.
The pod door, because if he's in here, he'll just be a nuisance. But I named my dog Kobe. I only have a handful of, like, you know, guys, we don't have a bunch of, like, art.
That's your only piece of art.
The only piece of art is I have this, like, painting of Kobe Bryant. And yet this really I'm hard outside of you know, someone dying that is like your immediate family or like a really close friend. I don't think I've ever had anything like shake me up more than this.
Well, I don't know that. I was thinking, even on the drive over, in our lifetime, has a sports figure ever died tragically young like this? That was,
yeah, I was trying to think.
That was of Kobe Bryant's, like, genius and excellence before. I couldn't think of anything. I thought about Payne Stewart died in a plane crash,
yeah,
in the 90s, but, you know, Payne Stewart was sort of not even somebody, yeah, that was even remotely, I think,
you know,
touched,
like,
you, like,
yeah,
like a Kobe did. I mean, I literally, the only things I could think of was, like, you know, musicians like the Richie Valens, Big Bopper, Buddy Holly in the 50s, and then you got like a Stevie Ray Vaughan in the 80s died in plane and helicopter crashes. But I can't for the life of me think of somebody more, you know, accomplished and amazing than Kobe Bryant, like, tragically dying young like this. It was, I couldn't think of it. So that tells you how unbelievably crazy what just happened was.
So today's been a weird day, because I had to call a Creighton game today. And
was it right during the game?
So it was right maybe an hour before the game. I'm sitting with Kevin Kugler, and he shows me his phone, and the very first report was from TMZ. And it's easy to be like, TMZ, you kind of go, no way. Mm-hmm. And, but then we, you know, we kept on like looking at it. And then it, for people, Kobe was, there was always the legend that Kobe would helicopter, instead of being on in LA traffic, Kobe would like helicopter to Staples. Or so like him being in a helicopter didn't, like it made sense. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, then for a while, the rumor mill was going on, you know, what was going on. And then when it got confirmed at the game, I mean, I've just been, you know, all of a sudden you're trapped in this arena and you can't, I had at one point I had to just walk away and go like hide in the corner. I've been on and off crying all day. We had to do, Kevin and I came on, we did a little tribute to Kobe right at the start. The only time I'd been able to talk, every time I tried to talk about him, I'd start crying. Somehow I was able to get through that, but I just rewatched it. It's pretty clear that I look like someone that had been crying.
Yeah.
And it just, it's been a surreal day. And everyone's kind of, it was amazing to watch around the arena when the new, you could see, because everybody's on their phones now. Like, just you could see one by one, people all jaw-dropping, just it hitting everybody.
It's huge. I mean, it's a tragedy. It really is. You know, it's somebody that is in the prime of their life. I mean, the guy just won an Oscar a year ago. So it's not like he's 90 years old and he's riding off in the sunset. Like, this is a guy with a lot left in front of him. And more importantly, the guy's got a family. Yeah. His daughter, I mean, when I heard his daughter, that was more than anything.
That added,
like, I almost didn't believe any of it.
Yeah.
I was almost just like, it was almost like you just are hearing, you know, you hear everything's fake news and like nothing was hitting me real. And then when they said the daughter was with him, I kind of, that's the only thing that knocked the wind out of me where I think I sat back and I just thought for about an hour. I was just like, what? Wow. You know? And I got out of the house. I went for a drive. I was like,
yeah. It's one of those days, like, and it's just, you know, it's so weird how could someone that you've never met, like I'm sure 99.99% of the people that are listening to this podcast, how could someone that you never met have such an emotional hold on you? It's hard to explain.
I think that's
where I felt comfortable crying publicly today. Like, I would cry. People would see me crying, and it was like they were fighting back. Crying over Kobe Bryant was like, I get it, man.
I actually understand it because it is. Everybody in their life, there's just a couple people that you don't actually meet that you look up to, and you idolize, and you sort of, you take things from them, and you model a lot of what you do. I mean, for you, it was basketball and the things that he brought to the game and the
mannerisms
I mean, you used to like mimic him as a young kid playing basketball. I remember just the way he moved, his facial expressions. I mean, your friends used to make fun of you.
Oh yeah, that was the first thing I thought of.
You were constantly doing Kobe things, and we were all like, "Stop doing the Kobe stuff, Nick. Nick, don't chew gum." The
Kobe back pedal. Kobe back pedal that I remember vividly. It was at its peak.
Ninth grade
in that Runs a Bison tournament.
Yeah.
So that'd have been in 99, probably. 2000 in that area, right when Kobe was hitting his, you know, taking off. And I thought, I'm this little white boy from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm out there.
Chewing gum,
Kobe backpedaling, snarling,
but that became a part of you almost. Yes. Right? So you take when the people that we look up to most, like that's who you take a part of them. You know, you take a part of them and you say, I think that guy's the best, and if I could take what he's got and use that going forward, that gives me my chance. And like, that's what happens, and so that's why I think people, you know, they feel so attached and so, you know, close almost to somebody they've never met.
Yeah.
And so I get that, you know, I do, I get it. But those were the first thoughts I had was,
I thought of you guys.
You as a kid and us just
ripping on me.
But you didn't care.
I didn't. I literally did not care. Like, you guys, I remember we would, you guys, as like the entire group, like, it was like an intervention.
Yeah, you gotta stop it.
I was like, you guys gotta stop. You have to stop with this Kobe stuff. And I would just like, I loved him so much that I was like, no, I don't.
No, I'm doing this.
No, this is what you do.
Those are great. Those are hilarious memories. But it's been around you forever since Kobe basically came on the scene. Like, he was your guy. It was Jordan, and it went to Kobe.
Yeah, and he, you know, because you try to sit there and figure out what it was about him, because it's not like it's he was, in my opinion, the most offensively gifted basketball player of all time. Like, in terms of just being able to put the ball in the basket with an array of abilities, I've never seen anybody like Kobe Bryant.
It's Jordan 1A, him 1B, probably, just in my book.
But on another stratosphere.
Yeah.
But there was something about him. There was something about his mental approach that made you feel like you could do it. Like, you know, some people you watch and they're so great that you're like, I could never do that. But there was something about him that felt like
human.
Human. Because Jordan felt superhuman.
Yeah.
Kobe seemed, because what made Kobe was, to me, all of the, besides the fact that the dude was a freak athlete and all that stuff, but like, what made him, to me, was all, and I'm pointing at my head right here, it was all his mind. Like, he had a fire about him that just made you feel like, and I think that was his thing, is like, I think he felt like, Jordan was like, I'm a god, you guys can't do what I do. But I think Kobe's like, you know the Mamba thing, and like, I think his whole, like, I think almost think his message to people was like, it's in you.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that bothered him the most at times, where he was kind of a bad teammate, but it all stemmed from a place of like, I know you have more inside you.
It didn't work with Shaq, and the stories have now been out for years, but Shaq's the biggest and the baddest, but he was lazy.
Yeah.
And those two things could not exist together.
Right.
You had Kobe, who was obsessively competitive and obsessively hardworking, with a guy that wasn't, even though he's an unbelievable talent. But those, you can't have two alpha dog personalities that are not aligned,
right,
in my book. And that was the problem, is that neither one of them wanted to defer to the other, and the bigger and the badder one, you couldn't physically enforce him to do what you wanted. And so that was the reason why Kobe and Shaq couldn't work, in my opinion.
I agree. It's just, he had a way about him that in a weird way was felt like oddly relatable. And I don't even know if that makes sense.
No, I do think you're right, though. He's human, where Michael Jordan seems superhuman to me. Like, Michael Jordan seems so much more athletic than everybody else, and even more athletic than Kobe, which is surprising. But Kobe seemed like, hey, you couldn't defend him, but he's going to barely hit the fadeaway.
Right.
He's just going to eke it in, or like, he just is going to keep coming at you. Where that, I think that was part of what was so impressive with him, and he did it forever. I mean, he did it from 1997 to 2016.
And it was cool to watch him, too, is like, you found out there are people that are like similar ages to you, where he's only, what, six years older than us, which is relatively close. And to watch him, you know, when he declared for the NBA, he's got
the Oakleys
on his head. So we just, and we've all, like, whether you like it or not, at one point you were a little punk.
Yeah.
A little cocky punk. We all, at some point, we all go through that cocky punk phase. And then he just hit these checkpoints in his life and always evolved the right way to me. And, he had a horrible, remember, was it the Utah series early in his career in the playoffs where he was terrible,
yeah,
but then he got better from that. And then, you know, then Shaq comes and they win, and then it falls apart with Shaq, and he kind of had to like grow from that. Where like, I guess I'm just like, I love watching people grow, hit different points in their life, clearly evolve for the better. And I'm not so sure there wasn't a guy that the saddest part about this was he, like, there are some guys that look like they're gonna have a hard time giving it up. Didn't he seem like he was in a great place?
Because he's a really smart, creative guy.
Yeah.
And that's the part that maybe even when I think he had a hard time relating to people early in his career because of that. He was a really different cat. I mean, he's a truly like a unique dude. And, you know, he grew up in Europe.
Yeah, he was in Italy and he speaks a bunch of different languages.
Yeah, but he's really smart and he's really like creative, and that sort of didn't work with 2000s NBA. If you remember the culture of early it was like
that was going through the Iverson, like it was the Iverson takeover of the NBA, and then there was like
wasn't a great element for the respect towards guys who were, you know, very well rounded. It was like you had to be. You had to be a certain way. And I think we all know what we're talking about, right? Like, to be in a locker room in, you know, 2000s or, you know, late 90s, early 2000s NBA, it was like, that wasn't the time to be a smart, thoughtful, curious.
Because that was, I read, there's a great story from Bill Plachke of the LA Times, who has been the columnist there forever, came when Kobe came, and it's really good. And he talked about how Kobe was such a unique, he didn't have an entourage. He said numerous times he'd walk with Kobe to his car. Kobe would be by himself. Like, Kobe was just a different, a different guy, but yet hit all the tunes to what we're taught, like, was also could go to Rucker Park and like he could resonate with Novak Djokovic or with Jay-Z. Or with who, like, he was able to, he had this mass appeal that is hard to find in, and that's what the true icon, legend, superstars have.
And I think, you know, at these next couple of days and next couple of weeks where people are really going to sit down and realize what the heck just happened. And, you know, he's generational, right? You only get that once every 20 or 30 years, a guy that's that good.
Yes.
And he's that sort of, he just has that sort of presence. He just has that thing about him that it's bigger than the average person. It's just, he has that thing. And Kobe had it. I mean, you polarize him. People loved Kobe or they hated Kobe. I mean, forever it was that way. And it took him to the end of his career where you started to see it swing where people started to love him. It started to finally go from that like 50-50 to like now majority of people go, man, Kobe seems like a pretty good guy.
And I think one of the things that even if you were one of those people that, you know, like didn't like Kobe, you respected his
game and his fight, attitude.
And his attitude. Like, because ultimately one of the things that I think he's one of the last of the dying breeds of is like, because even as much as you and I are LeBron, we love LeBron. LeBron can be hit or miss with this at times. Of like, Kobe was one of those dudes that exemplified what I think a lot of people want of their athletes, in that they give a fuck, they care, they're always going to fight, they're never going to quit. And I almost think some of, like, so you, even the people that didn't like him had to respect those elements of him.
Yeah.
And the hard part was, like, the same thing that made him great was the same thing that got him into trouble. Cause, like, he was such a fighter and had such a fire that sometimes he would be a ball hog and try to do it himself and be an asshole and all that. But, like, it all stemmed from a good place. You know what I mean? Like, there's good selfish and there's bad selfish. Like, he always was good selfish, which I know is like an oxymoron, but like it all stemmed from a place of like
wanting to win. It wasn't. So that's the one thing that I think if I'm trying to turn back the clock and remember some of the narratives of his career, I think the only time of his life where he was misjudged was that like 04 to 07 where people thought all he cares about is scoring points and not even winning.
Right.
And that's the part that I think is wrong. I think Kobe did want to do it himself, maybe. That's possible. But I don't think it was only just about points. It was about winning.
The
thing you figure out about him later is like he was about winning, where there's plenty of guys out there that they don't really care about winning. They would love to see their stats look good every week.
Yes.
And they're not really driven to relentlessly try to do everything to win. I think he always was. Even when they weren't winning as much and his teams weren't as good, I don't think that changed.
I agree. I totally agree. And I guess at the end of the day, all fans want out of their players is that winning is the only thing that matters to them. And I really think he exemplified that to me.
Yeah.
Now, and again, because I think some people misinterpreted some of the ball hog stuff. Like, I really don't think that guy gave a shit about getting 30. He just wanted to be like, I'm going to do whatever needs to be done to win. And if how I go about doing that sometimes is wrong, sometimes it's wrong, but that's my mission.
Yeah, it took the rest of his career winning more titles, and the way he sort of ended his career, people got a better view of what he was about altogether. Right. And then I think you can look back and go, oh, that's not what it was. That was just what people, that's what he got pigeonholed into. Like,
yeah.
People said that's what you are because that's what they wanted him to be.
Right.
Because they didn't like him, I don't think.
No. And it just, you know, days like today make you realize that just like, fuck, life is short. This shit can get taken away from you like that. Like, the sun came up today and Kobe Bryant died. And I just think the thing that's hard, one is like in the spirit of like, man, you really want to appreciate everyone around you to the umpteenth degree that means something to you. And then you reflect on your life and for me, like, you know, I just, some of my, if I were to die tomorrow, like some very special memories for me and a huge part of what made me was Kobe Bryant. As silly as that sounds, that's what it was. And so you're just, it's almost like, no, because your memories live on forever, but there's almost like a part of me that there's a part of me that felt like it died today in a weird way. And it's just, and I don't want to get too like sappy with this stuff, but it's just been hard. Like I'm sure everybody has that sports death that shakes them up. But like, not only is it shake me up, but it's just like the way it went down. And yeah,
Nick, it's unprecedented. I mean, I think the only one in my life, like an idol of mine, Paul Newman was my all time favorite actor. I loved all his movies. I thought he was like the coolest guy to ever walk the earth. And so, you know, growing up, I would play pool thinking I'm Paul Newman, the hustler. I watch his movies and I'm trying to do all his lines. And, you know, he died in 2008. And I remember, like, it was similar, like, probably what you're having today. Is like, the people that knew me knew that guy was my guy.
Yes.
And they're like, sorry about the loss, right? And
that's, I'm
like,
I've gotten a million text messages today. Again.
But that's what I thought for you today.
Right.
Nick, I was thinking about your loss today.
Because one of our best friends, Brian Goldsmith, Goldie, married to your little sister.
Yes.
He played, Brian. And we've been friends with him forever. He played high school football with us, and he was your college roommate. And I mean, I wasn't here because I was driving back from Omaha, but Goldie dropped off a care package at my house in honor of Kobe Bryant's jersey numbers, a 24-pack of Coors Lights, and 8 crown shots. So I have a crown shot over there that I might have to toss one back.
Oh, yeah.
for the man.
Might have to do one for Kobe.
But
that's it, Nick. It's like your friends know you've suffered a loss today. And that's what we've been thinking about. More than like, you know, I think we're all questioning, you know, when, like, I wrote this down. I said, when you lose an idol or a hero, it really makes you question like your own mortality. And so I think we're all doing that, but I think we also know the people like you that,
yeah, everybody has,
it's
that, yeah,
your guy. So we're like, man, Nick just lost like a part of himself.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, again, you just, I don't know what I'm, it's like life is so precious and so special that you just, you're so appreciative of the people that make your life and make your life better. And Kobe Bryant did that to me. I mean, every, like you, in my house, it was in my house in Omaha, like I said, that painting of Kobe, I like there are times, every time I come down here, I look at it and I just, it's a picture of him. He's kind of holding up his jersey. He just, you know, and it makes me happy and it just fills me up inside.
Wow.
And yeah, it's just,
dude, it's just, it's unthinkable. Like, and it's not, and that's, he didn't die of old age. He didn't die from cancer. He didn't die from something that he did, like a drug overdose. Like, he died in some freak helicopter accident, which, how does that happen?
I hope this doesn't come off like it's in bad taste, but I was talking to Kevin today and we were talking about the helicopter crash and I said, you know what I bet? I bet if there's one guy that as the helicopter was going down was thinking like, oh, I'm going to survive this.
No question.
Like, I hope that doesn't sound bad, but like it's a window into like that. That was hit. Like he was. If there's a guy that thought like, oh, I'm gonna. This is nothing.
That's him.
This is nothing.
That's him.
That's Kobe. Mm. And you know when you, I think everybody can relate to. You know, even Bill Plaschke in that story said, even people that worked, I'm paraphrasing, like even people that worked desk jobs, if they closed a big account, you felt like Kobe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You know, like anytime you did anything great, there was almost this feeling like, that's Kobe. Like Kobe was like a verb for achieving great achievements.
I can't remember. I literally, you know, I'm a history guy and I can't remember a bigger loss in the sports world to somebody this young. Like somebody that's achieved this much and died this young. I can't remember.
The reaction is, I mean, and it's not just, that's why it's hard to be like, because even today I was like, man, it's a devastating loss to the basketball world. But it's not just like Tiger had a comment on it. Tom Brady had a comment on it. All that Ronaldo had a comment on, like he transcended. It was like some people are big in their arena.
Yeah,
he was one of those guys.
Oh, he's a global. He's a
Obama released a statement. Trump released a statement. Like this is a guy that transcends sport, like it all.
Yeah,
and there isn't very. I mean, really think, right? I mean, there aren't too many people in this world
on Earth
that could pass away that would. The world stopped today in a lot of ways.
And when it was going, if it tried to go on, it was moving on. Sort of like,
really going to do this? Are we seriously going to continue on with life right now? And that's special. And it just, I don't. I mean, I was so excited. He had such a, whatever was in front of him, or whatever he set his eyes on, he was going to attack it with such fire and desire that I was just so excited to see like what, and I mean this sincerely, like some guys when they retire or they're done playing, you kind of know, like you're not all that curious what they're going to, go on.
Yeah, they're going on the golf course. They're going to go and do whatever. Yeah, it's
Kobe was one of those guys that like I was genuinely excited to see what that guy was going to continue to do to
look
in this
what
world.
He did in about 3 years of being retired. Like Nick, the guy won an Oscar within 3 years of being retired. Do you know how long it takes some people to like to even sniff being in an Oscar conversation, like their whole life, he just turns around and does it.
And so it's just cool. It was cool to watch the little snippet of it, but it's just so sad that we aren't going to get to see that. And then there was an element too that like him, how he was with his daughter playing basketball.
Yeah.
Like, gets to me. Because, you know, eventually I would love for Mava to play basketball. And if she wants to play it, great. I'm going to support the shit out of it. If she doesn't, whatever. There's a princess crown. Her princess, because, you know, she's trending towards being more princess than a...
This tells me she's not going to be playing much basketball.
This princess stuff, I don't know. But the other thing that was so cool about, like... He was really transitioning into being like someone that, and I get all the fucking 04 Colorado stuff. Like, I get it, guys. Like, yeah. I know.
Young dude, but in the NBA.
Like we're supposed to, a guy makes a mistake and I can't applaud him for learning from it, becoming better, and clearly being like a great father. Like, get the fuck out of here. Okay. So spare me this shit. If anybody right now is like, oh, like, but
I'm not judging anybody.
He was becoming, and I didn't realize it till he died, but he was becoming an inspiration as a dad, like, because he was so, like, there's all the great videos of him with Gianna, like, talking to her at the game, and, like, he would coach her, and then the other thing that was cool was, like, he understood the importance of, role models, and so he took her to WNBA games, and he became I'm not gonna front like I'm a huge WNBA fan, but he was like super supportive of the WNBA, and that's all for her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that's all for Gianna to be able to see that stuff, because it's so important as a child. Because like what he was trying to show Gianna was like what Kobe was to me. Mm-hmm. And like, that's the thing that maybe has gotten me today. It was like, I looked up to him on the basketball court, but like, I didn't know how much I was like, you know, you don't realize stuff's happening in your brain, but like, yeah, he just had all of a sudden become like I was like, God, that's how you fucking do it. That's how you parent, and that's how you would support, and that's like what that's supposed to look like. And so for someone with a daughter, that shit was like getting to me, yeah. You know? Ah, fuck. I thought I was going to make it, but I'm not making it. But you know, yeah. If that makes sense at all, like it
does, but you've always looked at him differently than you looked. Like, you've always loved him and LeBron, but LeBron was your, like, almost like a peer to you because he's the same age.
Yeah, old class, but the same class as us.
Looked at Kobe.
Up to Kobe. I don't look up to LeBron. It's that's hard to look up to someone that's your age and so, like,
you never thought about him the same way. No. Kobe, you saw as the older guy you could look up to. Even when LeBron, maybe like at times you're like, there's.
I think LeBron's better than like if we're going to the conversation, like if I'm by all five, like I think LeBron's
LeBron's like, maybe even a more similar to you in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
but. You never looked at LeBron like you looked at
Kobe. That's a great. I didn't realize that either until you said it. But that's true. I never looked up to
LeBron.
But I always looked up to Kobe. And yeah, it's
yeah. You never tried to play like LeBron.
No,
never. Like you'd always try to play like Kobe.
Yeah. Like I said, like play for people like, that for people like. That like. Bruce Springsteen, he's your favorite, right?
Favorite, yeah.
Bruce, his music, and when he sings, it does something's firing in your brain, and something's firing in
inside
your
you
soul.
Yeah.
And for you insert this for someone that's whatever, like insert someone that loves acting when you know, Meryl Streep or Denzel, they do something like it just fuck it. It fire your soul lights up.
Yeah, you connect with it on a level that you can't maybe even understand yourself,
and that is maybe the most pure form of like that. That is besides love. That is like the one, because that emotion you can't fit, like that feeling you get is real. And when he was on the court, it just did something to me.
Mm-hmm.
The way he moved, the way he played. Now I was basically like exactly like Jordan. But there was something about him that just, it did something to me. And do you have, You know, 'cause it's weird because for like Jordan has, I think one of the things that also makes Jordan so, I mean, he's the GOAT, but like Jordan also has like Rolodex moments that you can like be like, this is my all time favorite Jordan moment. Yeah. This, like Kobe didn't have as many, you know, he had the one shot to beat the Suns in the playoffs that was great. He had the 81 point performance. He has the against Portland crossing over and lobbed a Shaq.
That to me is still, that's the play that if I have to think about Kobe, I probably think about that first.
Yes.
Even though Shaq's involved, like it's that is the play of
that's
of those Lakers years when they were the most dominant. Like that was the signature play.
The you know what game I love too that was just a horrific basketball game. Do you remember Game 7 of
Celtics
yeah. Lakers?
Terrible game, and then
I mean it was it was the type of game even like Charles Oakley, Anthony Mason, John Starks, and those guys are like, guys,
this is bad.
This is ugly. You know, I mean, it was a because that was a bunch of fucking that was KG, Ray, Rondo, and then all those Ron Artest, all those guys.
It's a fist fight. It's a
fucking fist fight. That's how game sevens usually are. Mm-hmm. Even the 2016 Cavs Warriors, that game was awful. Oh. But just because game sevens, the anxiety of a game seven, and Kobe shot it terrible. But one of the things that was, do you remember Artest hit the big three and Kobe passed it to him?
Yeah.
And that was like, that was a cool, like you talk about like the evolution of like, Kobe would have been the type of guy like, you know, there's like memes on Twitter of like eight people on someone and Kobe is shooting it. You know, like, you know, that's how he would be. But like in game seven, he passed it. And so that was something that was cool. The other thing that, that when you try and think about, one of the things I love about basketball is there is a natural hierarchy of alpha dogness that emerges as the game unfolds, mm-hmm. right? And 2008 Redeem Team playing Spain in the gold medal game, and Spain was good. Gasol brothers all like good, and that team was like it was a real game, you know, like it was hard fought, and when shit got real in that game and that totem pole started to get formed.
10 alpha dogs.
10 turned. Alpha dogs. LeBron, Wade, all those guys. Like, all those. And kind of, it wasn't like those guys were like, I mean, look, I mean, it's 08. Braun is like coming into his own. Mm-hmm. Wade is like, you know,
Durant was on like, the team. Yeah.
All, I mean, Chris Paul, all those guys. And I thought it was telling that in that moment, who emerged as the top guy? Kobe.
I don't want to say that's got to be his signature moment. But that's up there. That might be because that tells you the more about Kobe than anything is he's the only one of those guys out of all those guys
that
no matter what, he has to be the guy.
When it came time to like, okay, are we all those guys in there? And that, again, that's right. It just like naturally happens. But when it became the big moment, and all those guys are going, we want to win this game and win a gold medal.
Who's the assassin? Who's the assassin of us supposed assassins? There was one true, because that's who you go to. There can only be one on every team. And when you got all those guys together, there can still only be one. And that was the guy.
That is one of my favorite Kobe games. And not that you didn't know it already, but remember Kobe, this was before he had then won his next two with Gasol and when Powell came to mm-hmm. him. So there was an element of like, you know, did he win? Because there was narratives of like, he only won because he has Shaq,
yeah.
all this shit. And I remember watching that game and walking away like, oh, not that I didn't necessarily think it, but like, oh, he's the fucking chief, the top dog, the alpha. And because I also think one of the things that's the feather in Jordan's cap is on the Dream Team. We have the poster that we got.
Yeah.
We're hanging up in the pod room. You watch any of those Dream Team documentaries, to a man, who do all of them bow to, defer to, and go, that's the guy.
When Bird and George and Magic go, that's the guy, that, you know that's the guy.
Yeah. And to me, in 08, in that gold medal game, that's a pretty big feather in the cap to me of like, this dude rose up to that level.
It tells you a lot. I do. It's amazing. That's up there with my number one sort of what I consider like the things I'll remember most about Kobe.
Yeah. And then obviously 81 points. Do you remember where you were when you heard? Because I didn't see the game, but I remember hearing about it.
I didn't see it, so I don't remember where I was.
I was in Lawrence, Kansas, and it was like there. And I just remember the guys being like, "Kobe had 81," and it was like, "Holy shit!" And the beauty of that game is that the Lakers, like, they needed it. It wasn't like it was a 40-point blowout, and it was like, "Oh, let's see how many points Kobe can get."
Yeah.
Like, they needed Kobe to score. 81, I honestly think 81 points, Kobe scoring 81 is more impressive than Wilt scoring 100 to me.
It's easily more impressive because in the modern NBA right now, like, if you have a 40-point night, you went off.
Yes.
Okay? So how often do you see 50-point games? A couple times a season, maybe? I mean, maybe. Never see 60, you never see 70. So to get to 80. To
81.
Is crazy.
And then, okay, and then we obviously, like, as much as you can hate this if you want, his final game.
So that, maybe I'll take that back.
His final fucking game.
Maybe that's his best moment, which is, it didn't
He scored mean, 60, right?
He scored 60 in his final game, which is almost as insane as the 81 because
he was shot. He was like,
that was the time he was just shooting it.
Yeah.
But the fact that he could do it,
that
tells you that, like, that's such, he's so freaking good that when you're supposedly washed up, you can choose to get 60.
And on your final, like, this is it. Because he had the whole farewell tour. Like, so everyone knew this was it. This was going to be the last time he's on the Staples Center floor, and the dude puts on a show and goes for 60.
That's just it, though. The great ones, they know how to rise to the moment, and that's what they give you. They give you those memories. They give you those amazing, you can't even understand what just happened moments.
And then there's obviously the other, as I'm just going through the other memories, tearing his Achilles and making two free throws.
Mm-hmm. Just to nut up and say, look, this was how you do it.
Just, I mean, like, I'm just going to step to it. Yeah. And not only to shoot the free throws, but he made those things. And I remember someone asked him, in the audio somewhere on the internet, like, someone asked him about that. Like, how were you able to, you know, overcome the pain? And like, and his story was, and this is kind of sad, he was like, maybe it's sad because of what happened today, but he was like, if I have a torn, like, my hamstring is torn completely, like, it is torn completely to the point where you supposedly can't walk.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, my house is burning and I need to get my family out of the house. Do you think I'm going to be able to get out of the house?
Yeah.
I think I am.
Yeah.
He goes, therefore, it's in your head.
Yeah. But you got to love that because there's so many soft guys out there,
right,
that, you know, they roll around the ground for an hour. And right, he, like,
you're
talk
big
about
on that.
This. I'm big on this. Like, that's the part where, you know, I need to get over some of the old school stupid stuff, like, you know, hits to the head and things. Like, I need to come around farther on that and just be like, protect players. Great.
Sure.
But the whole laying on the ground thing, the whole, you know, rolling around and really soaking it up, being carried off by, like, you never lay in the field and you never lay in the court. And like Kobe Bryant, like the not only to tear your Achilles and then to say, well, nobody's going to make these free throws probably more likely than me, so I'm going to shoot them.
and then he walked off the
court. And he walked off the court. And that's just a pride thing. That's like a, that's a toughness thing that's it's inside you. And like that's the part I've never respected Kobe more than probably
because and here's the thing too with him is like there's a lot of guys that are fake tough, like fake, like yep. like he is for real. Like that guy is a for real
tough.
For real. Just built different.
Yep.
You know, even the Gibbs and I used to watch this replay over and over in a loop because we still think it's amazing. You ever seen when Matt Barnes
throws it in his face?
Matt Barnes pump fakes the ball to get the ball. He's defending. So people need to look this up on the internet if you haven't ever seen it. Kobe Bryant had just gotten into it with Matt Barnes. And Matt Barnes is taking the ball out, and Kobe's kind of on the ball, but kind of just standing there. And Matt Barnes, before he throws it in, like pump fakes like he's going to throw the ball at Kobe's face. And the ball, I mean, how close? The ball looked like it got an inch from his face.
I'm twitching back so quick. I mean, I don't know how you don't react.
I don't either. And Kobe doesn't even, like, not an inch, not a centimeter. He doesn't move.
Doesn't blink,
doesn't move.
And just had this look on his face like, please.
There are elements of him that were like, I say there were, like I started out with somebody who's like, there was like a relatability, but then there also were moments where it was like, God, that is just some next level. Like there were moments where you'd be like, that's some next level mental toughness, you know?
Yeah, I think those are some of the things that are going to live on the most about Kobe Bryant. It's going to be those little things like that. I think it's the toughness, the fearlessness that, you know, what,
yeah, he was
pump fake. He's fearless, and he's just like his work ethic and mindset was just incredible. I think those are the things, like more than his highlights. Jordan's highlights are a bazillion times better than Kobe's for some reason. I don't know why his are more memorable than Kobe's, but Kobe's going to have his things that are going to live on that are going to be uniquely Kobe's.
Yes. You're right. I mean, he had a fearlessness. Like I wrote down fire, will, desire, fearless. Those are the four words I wrote down for him. Like that are pretty much like the only other people that I would even put in the same area of those would be probably Jordan and Tiger.
The way they're built.
They
are the killers, the assassins, the closers, the whatever it is. Those guys are that.
Yes.
They are that. And it's a unique gift they have. It's that they're the best and they're also mentally the freaking like...
just the different. Frickin- they're just like, think of like the toughest guy you know, and they're not like even close to the same.
The competitiveness
is, and just all that is totally different. And I mean, he's on the. You know, there's the whole Bill Simmons thing of like the aliens come down and we need to play a basketball game. Like the one thing that Kobe might not be in your five of trying to like piece together the perfect team necessarily. But at the same time, like if your life's on the line,
you give him the ball.
Like, right. Like I want you to go through the Rolodex of all time great basketball players. And here comes the alien from outer space. And it's one-on-one. That player gets the ball. They score. You live.
He's in about a group of about five that I say, if my life's on the line, I trust those five. He's probably in
that list because a huge part of it is like if he looks at you and says like, I won't let you down.
Yeah.
Or I'll trust me. But that was like, that's how he was built.
Yeah.
And I just don't know, like, and again, you don't want to go, I mean, because some of the old man takes of like kids these days, also, I just don't know how many guys are built like him anymore.
Well, can you even be that way anymore?
I don't know. I don't know if it's possible to be made up the way he's made up.
In the modern world we're living in, it's going to be harder and harder to be an assassin. To be a Tiger, a Jordan, or a Kobe, it's going to get harder and harder because there's a lot of ruthlessness you almost need
right.
to do that job. To be an assassin?
Right.
Yes. I mean, yeah. It's a ruthless job. We're in this world now of...
And I'm not necessarily hating on it because it is what it is, and I think I'm for player mobility, but Kobe never struck me as a guy that would go and want to, like, he wasn't gonna leave and team up with a bunch of people.
No, he's not built like that.
And like, that's also the other thing that like is cool about him, where he could end up being the last all-time great to be built like that, spending his entire time at one franchise and deliver. Mm-hmm. The only other guy that might end up being like that is Steph, but Steph just does it in a different way.
Yeah, he's a different kind of player.
And so I also think there's, you know, they're also in hit looking back on his career, like he's the last of kind of that old NBA a little bit too.
Oh yeah,
because he was more old school.
I mean, he's 90s. He was late 90s, early 2000s. I mean, that's that era is dead.
Yeah.
For the most, I mean, everybody else is gone.
Right.
That played in that era. I mean, nobody's still going.
I mean, I only cried once. Do you have anything else you got? I mean, we can wrap it here. We're at about an hour. We're at 50 minutes.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad you called. This was
good. I needed to get this out.
I wanted to talk to you, and I just think, you know, this is a guy he's not just another guy. He's not another ex-athlete that just died. This guy was something more, and some people might not have known that till today. But like when this guy, now that he's gone, it's like, I think people are going to realize just how big, just how unbelievable this guy's career and this guy's just sort of multifaceted abilities are.
Yes.
He's a special guy.
I mean, to come into the league like he did, I mean, he just, and yeah, like you said, I mean, he's just a truthfully special, special dude and a special player, a special personality.
He's going to be missed. He's going to be missed. I mean, you got to, like I say, your heart's got to go out to the families of the, not just to his, but the people. Because there was, I think, some other
kids
in the plane.
It's
sad, but.
He's a guy, too, that, like, I was really looking forward to him. Like, he just seemed like he was, the last couple years, he looked like he was just going to age well, if that makes sense. And it's been really cool for however, if you want to be cynical, like he has really embraced LeBron being a Laker.
Yeah.
And like his, you know, because that's the other thing that's just crazy about the universe. LeBron, the night before, passes him on the all-time scoring list. And his last tweet, Kobe's last tweet was, you know, something, congratulations to LeBron James, all that stuff. And like,
it's just bizarre, dude. It's just. That's such eerie stuff. Like that, the fact that happens, like LeBron's there, that happens. I mean, that's just eerie.
He did it in Philly, where LeBron grew up after he moved to Italy, and now the
Lakers and the Clippers, which is like the biggest matchup of the year, is Tuesday, and you know everybody's gonna be a freaking mess.
I don't think Kyrie Irving couldn't play. Kyrie Irving chose not to play today because he couldn't do it. I was worried about like for the game today between Creighton and Xavier. Like, because again, kids these like that's yeah. their that's their like I know Mitch Ballack wears 24 because of Kobe and all those guys. Like I was like, man, if the news gets to them, which I think it did, are these guys going to be like pretty shook up to play?
Yeah, I mean the NBA is a tight knit group. This is a league where the players are friends with each other.
Right.
They're all really, and the bigger stars are all seemingly pretty tight with the other stars. And so guys like LeBron, like he's wearing the Lakers jersey. He's going to go play in Staples Center on Tuesday. And like, that's got to be freaking nuts. I can't even imagine that.
Yeah. That's going to be quite the scene.
Because Nick, that's like, you know, think about the way LeBron feels if like, like you looked up to Kobe. I know LeBron looked up to Kobe and then became really good friends with Kobe.
Yes.
And he probably knows his family. And then you got to go play. I mean, oh my God.
I just, you know, I was so excited to watch him go into the Hall of Fame and like be his career be celebrated and him to, because he, you know what the other thing that's great about him is like, he really appreciates the game on a level of like appreciating all the guys that came before him.
Yeah.
And that matters to me. Like that matters to me to like, you appreciate everybody from Russell to Oscar Robertson, to Kareem, to Pippen, to Barkley. Like he had a reverence for this sport that you knew it was going to mean a lot to him to celebrate his career, to be celebrated just because he loves the game so much.
Not every athlete is thoughtful, and he's a guy that's very thoughtful. He, like you're saying, he understood what it all means, and he was going to uphold that and support that.
And I think that's cool. Like as people that love, you know, it's cool when actors have a true reverence for other actors, or musicians have a true respect for other musicians, or football player, whatever it is. He had that.
Yeah.
And his mind was, did you ever watch some of the detail stuff with him?
No, I never watched it, but I wanted to see it. It looked good.
It was really, really cool. Like just, I mean, again, just he, there was, because that it shined through. Like he loved every little detail about the game.
And he saw, I'm sure he saw things that like, who else sees that?
I mean, it was really, really good. Uh-huh. So I only cried once. I got choked up a few times.
Hey, I needed
you. I'm so glad you came, because I wanted to record. I was going to record something tonight, and if I'd have been alone, again, you make me like, I cannot be soft around you.
It would have just been.
You're my coach. Seriously, it would have been stupid. It would have been stupid.
You would have just been like,
people would have been like, why did I click on this podcast to listen to this fucking 35-year-old guy cry for 28 minutes?
I mean, you know what I mean? I wonder what, if you would have just been down here and like.
On another level, I was down here. I mean, Mava's been looking at me and like, you know, like, what is wrong with you? Because I've been down here, like, I'll read that Bill Plaschke piece and I'm crying. Mm-hmm. I watch Doc Rivers, they got interviewed and couldn't even cry. Watch just some highlight reel of Kobe, cry. But something about you walked in here and you manned me up.
No, well, that wasn't my purpose. I just, like I told you from the beginning, my concern was you today, because this was one of your guys, and not that like it didn't bother me, it did, but I just knew, like I said, that some with people that it matters, like they're their guys, it's like truly like you lose somebody, you know?
Yeah, so. That's what it feels like today. That's exactly what it feels like today. So man, I mean, you know how it is, in the coming days there's gonna be some pretty amazing tributes and videos and every stuff. Just like, I'm gonna try to sponge that stuff and soak it up, man. And the other thing too, not to get all like, I mean, just again, like I said, this is just a reminder of just fuck, man. At any moment, this shit can be just gone.
I bet you there's millions and millions of people around the country and the world having that conversation. Like oh my God, it can be over tomorrow.
Kobe Bryant can die.
At 41 years old, you know, why would you live a miserable life that you're not enjoying to get to 100? Like, you know, I don't know. Me and my wife were talking about this, like this live forever or live now, because, and it's like, that's what the day did. It made you think and talk about these
things. It just, and to me, it just makes me, where it takes my mind to is make sure you are just appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't enough appreciation, I think, in this world anymore. Like appreciate, and not just like your friends and your immediate, but like appreciate someone like Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
Like whoever right now, if you have a favorite player, you think in your Rolodex of people that you've enjoyed, just like appreciate them, man.
Enjoy the hell out of them.
Like you said in the sports moments of 2019 of like about Tigers, like these people, the thing, these people give you, they give you greatness, these moments in your life, and they give you, they change your life, and you just got to appreciate it, man. So, God damn, Kobe Bryant. RIP, brother. God, that one hurts. All I know is to honor Kobe, I'm going to channel my inner mama mentality and just not cry right now. That's what I'm, that's the plan at this point. Chew gum, scowl, be tough.
I think we should go out.
Chewing gum, being tough, because that's what Kobe would want. Kobe Bryant, love you. Mamba out. A Parkville Media Production.